here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
One of the most powerful things as a tool that we have in terms of building our business. And when you think about it, 20 years ago, people were still advertising in the yellow pages and doing direct mail. Not that direct mail is dead, it still lives. But now, if you don't understand how to utilize social media traffic, you are missing out on leads and sales and referrals and brand awareness like crazy. And you may be under the impression that you have to spend a lot of money on traffic. The answer is you don't. In fact, my guest today, he just ran a campaign, and I believe the cost per acquisition, or CPA as we call it, was 50 cents per customer. Who could afford 50 cents per customer? I think we all could, right? So you're going to hear from him in just a minute. I have a couple of quick announcements. So number one, my digital marketing agency, Agency 8, has some incredible updates that are happening. So we, if you are looking for an agency, you're a small business owner, you need a CRM, a customer management relationship system, we are the go-to agency for side hustlers, and you can check us out at agency8.com. If you come in with our ninja package, which is only $147 a month, you're going to get your CRM, you're going to get 2,500 contacts, you're going to get a customized, personalized onboarding session. You're going to get access to our free private trainings every single month, and it's amazing. And we're going to help you get that set up. So check it out, agency8.com. We also, starting in August, my daughter Avery is going to be joining the agency, and she works with brands to do their Instagram optimization. And so we are going to be offering that service to small business owners. So she works in the automotive field, in the hospitality field, working with restaurants. So she's a go-to expert in that space, and she manages accounts that have over, I think it's 1.1 million followers right now. So that's coming in August. Our signature event, the Ultimate Marketing Experience, is coming up in September. That's September 24th to 27th. That's where we take side hustlers and small business owners, and we immerse them for 3.5 days learning social media traffic, brand building, business, sales. If you don't know about my background, I have built channel sales teams that have done over $1.7 billion in sales. So I'm known in the startup field and the entrepreneurship field as a sales channel expert. So I'm going to be teaching those skills. It's going to be phenomenal. We have new best-selling author, Matt Rush, stress expert. He is one of our keynotes. JJ Burden, he was the smallest player in the NFL. He's an amazing keynote speaker. He's one of our keynotes. And my guest today is also going to be a keynote. So get ready for this. So anyway, my guest today is a digital agency ad owner. He specializes in the automotive space. He's a brand influencer on Instagram. He is also someone who's absolutely remarkable because when he was a teenager, he was making thousands of dollars as a side hustle while he was still in high school and playing hockey, monetizing off of ClickBank. And he came to this whole social media world as a favor to a friend, and he became so good at it, he said to his parents, hey, you know what, instead of spending all this money on college, I want to go and pursue this. And so not only is he someone who knows what he's talking about and all the accounts that he manages, he is he's someone who inspires me on a daily basis. So with that, Kieran O'Brien, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Kieran, let's get started super quick before we get into questions. You know, let's just go to this recent campaign you ran where your CPA was 50 Sure. cents. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So it was for a small business that we work with here locally in Arizona. And we ran a campaign, I think it was 2 days ago we launched it. And it wasn't even the acquisition cost that shocked me, but more so the speed in which we acquired the first 5-10 leads. Because if you guys have run paid traffic on Facebook or Google or really anywhere, you know that there's an optimization period. Sometimes it could be up to 30 days if you're not working with a lot of data. And so for this small business, you know, they're well known in the community. So that definitely, you know, probably played a part into the success of the campaign. But this campaign was unoptimized. It was creative that we'd never used before, copy that I had just written from scratch. And we ran it. And within 30 minutes, which is absolutely ridiculous, 30 minutes, we had 5 leads at 50 cents each. And the business had already closed a deal. And the value of those leads is about $1,000 each because it was for a fixed price service that they were offering. And so the most important thing to understand about that campaign specifically is the offer, right? You can learn as much as you want about, you know, about Facebook ads, about Google ads, paid traffic. You can learn as much as you want about, you know, copywriting and as much as you want about graphic design and creative and everything like that. But at the end of the day, if the offer isn't good, none of that stuff matters. And so the offer that we did for this specific campaign, probably not super relevant to you guys, but I'll tell you anyway, it was a tuning special. I work with a lot of automotive shops. And this specific client of mine is one of the only shops in the world, and specifically here in Arizona, that is able to tune this specific type of vehicle. And so that's why the offer was extremely hot and different, because the owners of these vehicles had never been able to modify their cars up until this point. And so when we were able to come in with a really solid offer that nobody else was able to offer, and then also hyper-target the owners of those specific types of vehicles, which obviously Facebook allows us to do, that's when the perfect storm happens. And then the copy and the creative also happened to be pretty good. And I believe that, you know, that perfect storm kind of allowed the campaign to be extremely successful within the first 48 hours. We're on day 3 now, and we're doing about 10 to 15 days leads a day on just, I think, $35 a day in spend. And they've already closed multiple deals. Like I said, it's about $1,000 to come bring your car in to have it tuned there. And so one more time, just to recap, the most important takeaway for any small business owner when looking at a case study like that is the fact that the offer was unique and different and a value proposition that no other business could really beat or compete with.
Karen, that's outstanding. And the one of the things that this whole concept of the offer, right? So we have a lot of people who are associated with the agency or, you know, come to live coaching who've maybe never run traffic online before. And they don't, you know, they don't necessarily understand how to create an offer or how to A/B test something. And we're going to get into that. But what I want to talk about is something very basic. And let's talk about photo, text, and video, and which has the highest conversion. Because at the end of the day, most people are going to look at your ad on their mobile, and you've got to be able to stop the scroll. So can you talk about that?
Definitely. And it's actually funny. I literally just sent out a monthly report for one of my biggest clients this morning. And we're about to break $1 million a month in revenue for them on one of their online stores. And when we were looking at the data, we were for this month right around, you know, $800,000 to $900,000 in revenue, and $622,000 of that came from mobile. $500,000 from iPhones, and then $150,000 from Android phones, and then the rest was desktop. So I looked at that, and I actually, just a few hours ago when I was writing the email to the client, I've seen based on, because we do reports every month, right? And so the trajectory of that data, I've been working with them for about a year and a half. When we first started working with them, it was almost 50-50 desktop versus mobile a year and a half ago. And so everything is going mobile. We're actually in the process of helping that specific client optimize the website for mobile. And so the mobile experience needs to come first. You know, that's been a topic in the digital marketing space for, you know, the last 5 years, probably, about mobile optimization. But I think it's more important now than it ever has been, because it really is. It's not even, you know, that there's a 20 or 30% of people that are mobile like it was 5 years ago, maybe, or even 50-50. Mobile has taken over completely in most industries and most websites. So your mobile traffic is going to continue to go up, and your desktop traffic is going to continue to go down. And so I think that's extremely important to understand. In terms of copy and creative, right, to stop the scroll, that's what everybody always wants to know. And, you know, the famous quote that marketers ruin everything. So what I talk about today is probably not going to be applicable from a year from now. And what I told people about how to stop the scroll a year ago is not applicable anymore because marketers ruin everything and they exploit everything. So some of the best ways to stop a scroll in 2020 is actually kind of counterintuitive to what most people believe. And that is really long form copy, telling a story in your copy. Now, it's still important to have a hook at the beginning, right? Something that gets them to stop scrolling. But if you can get your target audience to engage in a real story throughout your copy, I'm talking like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 paragraphs worth of copy in your offer. That is a fantastic way to get to stop the scroll on a platform like Facebook. Now, on Instagram, which is obviously it's owned by Facebook, it's in the same backend ads manager. If you're running advertisements, your ads probably going to show up on Instagram too. Copy isn't as important. It's still extremely important, but it isn't as important because the creative comes before the copy. So you have your image above your words on Instagram, and on Facebook, you have your words above your image. So on Instagram, what I found is the ads that we run for my clients in on Instagram only placements, it's just as important to have an eye-catching pattern interrupt inside of the creative. Now, this could be an image or a video. So a lot of times in our videos, we'll have some sort of flash or some sort of colorful, you know, whatever. If people have sound on their device, then, you know, we'll often have some sort of catchy sound in the first couple seconds of the video to really, you know, give a pattern interrupt and stop the scroll. And then from there, the copy, like I said, is still extremely important because you want to be able to, once they've finished consuming the creative, they've watched the video, they've understood what the image is, then they scroll a little bit farther and they see your copy. You want to make sure that that's cohesive with what the creative was. And then you also want to make sure that it keeps their attention just like the image did if they haven't already clicked on your call to action.
Kieran, I love that. And the pattern interrupt and stopping the scroll, we know that more and more videos are being watched with no sound. I don't know what last month's statistic is, but like Kieran said, that's why when we do shows like this, or you come to UME, where Kieran's going to be training, that what we're talking about now might be different in 3 months. Like the world changes so quickly. But one thing, the numbers are going up and up in terms of silent video. So something like I did for years, Bulletproof Monday as a live. Now I'm actually doing it and loading it as a premiere so we can close caption it, right? Because again, it's the same thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I, you know what's actually funny? Let me show you guys this. I am...
Do you want to share your screen?
Yeah, I'm about to just, I have my iPad right here. I can show you guys, or I can share my screen. It's nothing crazy. I just want to show you guys really quickly. But this is the back end of TikTok ads right here. So this is the TikTok ads manager. I was invited as one of the preliminary agencies to start doing ads on TikTok. If you don't know what TikTok is, it is a long form video, or sorry, I wouldn't say short form, but medium form video platform, because videos can be up to a minute long. That's kind of giving Instagram and Snapchat a run for their money right now. And it's where a lot of the younger demo is kind of parking their attention. So TikTok is extremely important. A lot of people are starting to realize the power of that platform. And so when I got invited by their corporate team to become an advertiser on their platform, I was going through their training. And I actually just completed their training program yesterday. And to bring this back to the point that you were making, one of the things that they actually stress inside of, like they have a whole video about their, you know, their unique selling proposition compared to other advertising platforms. And one of their USPs is that they have sound on for all of their ads automatically. And so they're kind of throwing some shots there at Facebook and Instagram, because you can scroll through your Facebook and Instagram feed with sound off and people will never hear what you're saying. They'll never hear the music. They'll never hear the words. But on TikTok, they're always going to hear the audio that's associated with your advertisement. So I'm not an expert on TikTok ads yet. I just recently started doing them. So hopefully I'll be well versed in them by the time the event comes around, and I can tell you guys a little bit more about it. And then their ads platform is still in beta, so we won't have public access for a while longer. But it's going to be extremely powerful for all sorts of businesses to utilize. And then going back to your point, you know, since we're sticking mainly with, you know, Facebook and Instagram for this training, is I do subtitles and captions for every single one of my ads. If there's anybody talking or whatever it is. And then also if it's just music in the background, I'll make sure that I have my graphic designer do video animations with words so that you don't have to listen to anything to understand what the creative is trying to convey to you. And then, like I said, it's also extremely important that your copy is cohesive with your creative, because if somebody doesn't understand what the offer is in the creative, or a lot of people are just using just single images that are completely unrelated to the offer, and you might think that that sounds stupid, but it's actually highly converting. If you literally use a photo of a potato and you have really good copy, for some reason, that's a strategy that people are using now. And I've started doing it a little bit as well, just using random stock images as your creative, because it's a pattern interrupt in and of itself, because people are like, what the heck is this? Why is there a picture of an ice cream cone?
Golden eggs. Joe's golden eggs.
Exactly.
So Kieran and I have a mutual friend, and his best converting ad was golden eggs. And so Diana and I are like, you know, hey, Diana's the president of the agency. So we're like, hey, if it worked for Joe, let's give it a try. And it was driving to a free webinar, and it was our top converting ad. It was an image of golden eggs.
Oh yeah. Exactly. And so you don't have to get super wrapped up in the graphic design and all the creative stuff. You know, at the end of the day, if you can write good copy and you can put some sort of just random image that's going to cause a pattern interrupt for your viewer, you know, the most important thing really is the offer itself and the targeting. So if your offer is really solid and your targeting is on point, then a random image of a golden egg might help your conversion rate, because it's going to stop that scroll. So I think that's another good point there. So
we might bring the golden eggs back. You know, right now we're doing some things with images of kids, not in a creepy, weird way. I'm a mom, but for our particular agency avatar, which are people who tend to be, you know, we have some people on either end of the spectrum, but people 40 plus who have businesses, who are a little intimidated by digital marketing. As you know, Kieran, we do a ton of handholding, it stops the scroll for them. Right? So you can go completely, completely random, like a potato. Just know your avatar, you know, whose attention are you trying to get, which is really key. I think let's take a question. Just so you guys know, Kieran's 20. He is turning 21. He's going to be old. He's going to be legit in
August.
Yeah, I'm going to
be old soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Why?
Yeah. Because
I'm already planning what I'm going to cook you, which is probably like the, you know, standard. Yeah. But I'll go really, you know, we'll do something big for the dessert section of your birthday.
Let's do it. I'm excited.
So who has the first question? And I've learned so much from Kieran. He is my daughter Avery's great love. And so he often is at our dinner table on the weekend. And, you know, I was thinking, gosh, you know, we need to share some of these dinner table conversations with all of you. So we're ready to take the first question on marketing. And who would like to jump out?
I would love to.
Go for it, Cassie. I'd love to hear your question.
Thank you. And both of you, thank you so much for being here. I am 29. And I have a huge heart for millennials and Gen Z. Okay, like I want to like target them and then help them develop their leadership skills, their gifts, and become the healthiest version of themselves. The only thing is I have no idea how to attract them to me. So I don't have anything specific right now. Like I'm in network marketing, so they're kind of like my avatar, if you will. But other than that, I don't know how to draw them into what I want to promote for them.
All right.
Right.
That's a great question. So, and Kieran, I think, you know, the one of the things that people who are in network marketing really have, I guess, not entirely grasped is you are a brand ambassador of whatever company you're in. It's a great business opportunity. It's very low risk. It's just knowing if you are going to do some paid traffic, what should you do? So I can't wait to hear what you think Cassie should do in this situation.
Yeah. So I think the most important thing, not even just with Gen Z, but any target audience, is that you know where their attention is, right? So a lot of Gen Z is on platforms like TikTok and Snapchat. And, you know, a lot of other people that are trying to target that demographic, especially if they're not in that demographic, if they're in an older demographic trying to target that younger demographic, they might just go with what they know. And that's probably the worst strategy, because you're not paying attention to, like I said, where the attention of your target demographic is. And so I would definitely get on platforms like TikTok and Snapchat and put out content on there. TikTok is a massive opportunity right now to reach Gen Z, because you can go viral on that platform so easily. Look at the trends, look at what the big influencers on those platforms are doing, and make content that's relatable and funny and entertaining and informational. And you know, on TikTok, you don't even have to, you know, like I said, the ads platform's not even really rolled out yet. But you don't have to spend money on a platform like TikTok to get eyeballs. I think Avery actually just hit 300,000 followers on TikTok in like 6 months. So it's extremely, I won't say easy, but it's a pretty simple strategy to go viral on these new platforms, because they have algorithms that are designed for people to get a little taste of fame at the beginning of using the platform, because they want you to stick around, right? As for the paid ad side of things, I would say that, you know, you really need to narrow in on what your offer is, what your unique selling proposition is. Why should people listen to Cassie versus anybody else that's trying to give Gen Z advice, right? Figure out what that unique thing is that you have, the unique viewpoint that you have. What's your offer to them, right? What value do you bring to them? You know, at the end of the day, a lot of Gen Z, you know, it might be super beneficial for them to become leaders inside of, you know, their life, their business, whatever it is. Even, you know, if they're in school still, it might be super beneficial to them, but they might not know or care about that yet. So the positioning, you know, the positioning might not always be, I'm going to help you be a better leader, but it might have to be, you know, here's why leadership skills will pay off for you in the long term. And here's an example, and here's a case study or whatever it is, kind of, you know, explaining to your target demographic why what you have to offer is going to be beneficial for them. So I think, you know, and this is kind of blanket advice for anything when you're marketing online, is figuring out all of those different aspects and then crafting an offer with all of those things in mind. Then you can get down into the nitty gritty things of targeting and creating the ads and everything else. But, you know, really crafting the perfect offer, the irresistible offer, is the first step in most digital marketing strategy. So
that's a great answer. Thanks, Kieran. And Cassie's like, yes. Thinking, you know, thinking and exploring network marketing do's and don'ts, and thinking about, you know, FTC, FDA compliance, that, you know, we, I don't care what kind of business you're in, you don't want to make claims. And, you know, right now, right, the FTC is cracking down on every business that is using COVID in their value proposition. So even if Kieran, yep, was advertising, you know, automotive parts, oh, you've been at home at COVID and now you want to get out and take your whatever it is, you know, 1976 Mustang for a spin, chances are that ad isn't going to pass. Kieran, can you talk about what's passing and what's not passing right now for Facebook?
Just don't. I had a conversation about this last night. Just don't post anything about masks or viruses or coronavirus, and just don't say any of those buzzwords in your advertisements. Don't even allude to them, because your ads will most likely get shut down. It's actually super funny, because I've had so many people come to me recently in the last, like 2 months, asking me to help them advertise masks and personal protective equipment on Facebook. And some people have done it successfully for a few days, and then their stuff gets shut down almost immediately. I had somebody, and this is just an example of how powerful the AI is on Facebook. I had somebody tag me on their Instagram story. So I have a podcast with my two friends, and we made a podcast that had the word Corona in it. What, not even coronavirus, but just Corona was in the title of the podcast. Somebody screenshotted that podcast, posted it on their Instagram story, tagged me. Then I reposted it onto my story, and my Instagram story got flagged because the AI noticed that the word Corona was in the other person's story on their screenshot that they tagged me in. And so if that doesn't kind of show you how powerful this AI is, and of course, Instagram and Facebook can't afford to mess up. If I was talking about the beer company and they flagged my story and removed it because I was talking about the beer company and they thought I was talking about the pandemic, that would be a really bad look for them. So that also further shows you how powerful the AI is, because they weren't just looking at the word that I used. They were looking at how it was phrased inside of that sentence and what it was alluding to. So they go deep into the context of that word, the words before and after it, like the landing page that you're sending traffic to. If you have nothing about the pandemic or anything in your advertisement, but you're sending them to a landing page or a website that, that talks about it or has any of those buzzwords, your ads are going to get killed in that situation as well. So it's actually crazy. Someone said that's mind-blowing. I agree. The AI is getting smarter every single day, and they're really cracking down on that stuff. So I would stay far away from it. You know, the one thing that I have seen people get away with, so I can give you guys some actual advice rather than just telling you what not to do. The thing that I have seen people get away with is talking about the economic repercussions of what's happening, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? We are in a crazy time with unemployment and uncertainty of the future economy and things like that. That's perfectly fine. You can talk about that, right? Especially in network marketing. If you're, some people are getting laid off from their jobs and they're looking how to make, they're looking for a way to make some extra money or start a side hustle. You can play into those things, but just don't talk about the pandemic itself.
Yeah. I think that it goes back to, so Diana and I had a beautiful video ad that Diana had created and Facebook denied it. And I can't emphasize this enough. At the end of the day, you have to own your audience. So if you're only doing social media posting and you don't have a back end to collect your leads, you're wasting your money. You know, like, that's why we recommend a CRM, because you've got to be lead collecting. And so I own my list, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I'm still bringing them from social media to the list. There's no question. But if your ad gets denied, you shouldn't be sitting there and going, well, my ad's denied. Poor me. I'm not going to run another ad. You can still send it out to your list. So just wanted to say that. Avery's joined us too, Karen. So just in case she ends up chiming in on anything. Christina has a question. Christina has a question. Do you want to jump out here, Christina, and ask your question?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, everyone. I recently joined TikTok, and I say maybe the end of March, and I have 5,900 followers, and I'm like, they told me that I will be able to start making money on TikTok with 1,000, and I don't know how to do it, because my business name is Symphony's Treasures. I do handmade bling items, sneakers, Converses, masks, everything, you name it, I bling it. And I don't know how I would even start to make money. They said try to link up with brands, but I'm my own brand. So how would I get the help with that to start earning money on TikTok?
That's a great question. So, and just so you know, I just want to jump in.
Yeah.
I always love to bling everything. I just need to say that here. If I can add sparkle to it, girl, Christina. Well, you know, I could already think of 18 items in my house, including my children. If you want to, bling out my youngest, she probably, Anyway, Kieran, sorry.
Yeah. So it's actually a really popular thing right now on TikTok for artists of any kind, whether you're painting or creating things, whatever it is, to post the process, right? Show how you're making them. I'm sure that's probably how you got your 5,900. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that. Okay. And TikTok also, I don't know if you have it yet. It's kind of random, but they're letting people put links in their bio to their website. I would highly recommend start a Shopify store, have your items up there for sale, and just put it there, have a few more videos go viral and just show the process. Like make fun, entertaining videos of how you're making these things, how you're blinging out all these different objects. I would go also and try to find other artists on TikTok that have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers. There's a lot of them, trust me. And go not only look at the content that they're posting, but understand why they're making the content the way that they're doing it. The music in the background, the cuts, the transitions, you know, how fast-paced the video is, the length of the videos. Those are all things, those are all cues that you can kind of latch onto to figure out what might help your content go viral. And get more visitors to your website and more people paying attention to your brand.
Okay, thank you.
And Karen, yeah. I knew it would happen. So Avery would like to comment.
I would. Hello.
Sure.
Hi, everyone. So on TikTok, I'm actually just approaching 300K. So I have a couple tips for you as well. So in terms of TikTok, like I've seen a lot of people, if you're blinging everything out, something that's really popular right now is there's actually a sparkle filter. And it's hugely popular. People are using it for everything. I would recommend trying to use that a little bit, because if everything's like super like glittery and everything, that filter is going to pop. But also on TikTok, people can search by a variety of different things more so than they can on Instagram. If you're using this filter and people really like it, they can click on the filter and then find different content based on that filter. So you can actually rank on there. I'd also definitely recommend taking a look at people or that are kind of either doing something similar to you or are using the same hashtags you're using and seeing what those top posts are doing. For example, if you're using like hashtag custom made, for example, I would take a look at that and just kind of see how people are capitalizing on the trends that are going on right now. I'd also, something that I personally do as well is I try to use the most popular music. I always pull my songs from the trending section on TikTok. This is because in my experience, that has helped me get more exposure. If the song is really popular right now, a lot of them aren't songs I listen to elsewhere anyways. So, that's another good way to get discovered, because if people really like a sound, they will click on the sound. They'll start, like, I've caught myself doing this several times where I found a sound and then I've just watched videos with that sound for an hour. Kieran knows this because I forced him to watch. There's this trend happening where they get old racehorses and they play the bugle call and the horses like lift their heads. And I made Kieran watch so many of those videos with me. He got so annoyed by the sound, but I thought it was really cute. So, just doing that. And then if you can find, sorry, this is like a whole whack of information, but like TikTok is really fun. So, and I think it's a great opportunity. So, if you can find ways to, obviously TikTok is a lot of dancing, but it's a lot more than that as well. I have never danced on my TikTok and I consider myself to have done pretty well. I'm a terrible dancer and nobody wants to see that. So I think, there are definitely, don't be daunted or don't feel like you have to dance to have a presence on TikTok. I've seen so many people do some amazing things with a variety of different products and everything like that. What I was getting to with this is if you can find a way to incorporate your product into current trends, Kieran's and my friend Jeffrey, some of you may have, be familiar with him from previous events. He, JR Garage, on TikTok, he turns all of the trends into content that he uses with his cars. He's honestly one of the most creative TikTokers I've seen in terms of that regard. But there are so many ways that you can take popular sounds and apply them to your own thing. So I would just kind of like monitor the trends, whatever. You don't have to like spend hours doing it. But TikTok actually has like a trending section where you can see which hashtags are trending, what people are doing, and then find something that fits with your brand. So there's a huge opportunity there. And I actually, I fully intend on speaking at this, about TikTok at my mom's upcoming event. So for anyone that's going to be there, I'm going to lay down the law. You're all going to be TikTok famous by the end of it.
Avery, thank you so much for jumping on. Avery is actually coordinating all of Saturday at UME. So imagine not just learning the theory, but doing it. So Avery, what have you got planned? Because I actually don't even know.
I have a gift for you? Let me just tell you right now. I'm going to have all of my friends are going to come help me out. I'm going to have Kieran's going to be there. Jeffrey's going to be there. Casey's going to be there. You are going to leave Saturday with a full, if you guys have taken my course before, we're going to do an updated kind of marketing plan for your social media. This is going to include TikTok. I'm going to try to learn Twitter as well, because I know that a lot of people are seeking opportunities on that platform too. But yeah, so I'm going to have people help. My friends are going to help me. But yeah, you're going to learn about TikTok. You're going to learn about Instagram marketing and updated strategies to grow your brand. We might end up having some free bubble tea, which is always fun. Yeah, it's going to be a day full of learning. You guys are going to not only learn strategies to enhance your current social media presence, we're going to teach you about how to use ads and everything to reach a broader audience, and some strategies that I've used to really help, a couple companies like grow and stuff like that. And anything else you guys want me to teach on as well, it's going to be great. I'm open to suggestions as well. So if there's anything you guys want to learn, we're going to have a big Q&A section at the end. I'm going to be able to help you guys and walk you through it. And hopefully I'm going to find a way. If you guys have taken my course before, I've always struggled. I have to like show my phone to the Zoom camera. So hopefully we're going to find a way to like project my phone on the screen. That would be a lot of fun.
We know how to do that. That I've got. I've got you, girl. Thanks, Avery, for that. We have another question, and the TikTok is apparently the theme here. I know Cindy had a question. She wanted to jump out. And Cindy, why don't you come out and ask your question? We do, if you're thinking of coming to UME, we only have a handful of spots left because we have to limit how many people are in the room. And it's the 24th to 27th of September, and it is amazing. It is a business write-off, and we do have a payment plan going. And again, once the spots are gone, they're gone, because it's not like any event you go to. Like, imagine Kieran's right now, he's talking to you about ads. Imagine you had Kieran actually helping you build your ads. Think about that. So this is why we're so passionate about the event. We only do it once a year. But again, if you want to come, you've got to claim your spot, because when we reach the limit, we have to stop. There's no way we can extend the event. Okay. So
I'm just going to hop on. I've seen some questions. I know, Kieran, I'm so sorry I stole your show, but it's okay, because I'm awesome. I'm just going to quickly address some of the questions in the chat. So Corey asks, is it recommended to use TikTok for professional services? I'm a consultant. My audience are managers, directors, and VP levels from mid to large companies. I know I ended up using TikTok because my 12-year-old daughter forced me to, so I can follow and monitor what she is following. I'm wondering if this is the trend for XGen. So just to quickly respond to this question, TikTok honestly is for everybody. I had a college professor that was like, every morning I wake up and I spend 15 minutes on TikTok. You know, there is no specific niche. Yes, there is a whole side of TikTok that is just for 12-year-olds, but that's also the same for Instagram as well. I think that there's a huge opportunity on there. Something I have noticed, if you're a consultant and your audience are managers and directors and VPs, I would create that content regardless. And then if you're using Instagram, you can post it on Instagram as well. You can post it on Facebook and then post it on TikTok just as an aside. Another thing that you can do that I've noticed is extremely popular among like Gen X, or, you know, other like people who are business professionals, is educating younger people on what it is they do. I've seen a lot of lawyers, police officers, doctors, everything like that, like, you know, people and teachers as well, any sort of profession, just kind of educating people on things that they've learned. There's a huge, I learn something on TikTok every day. It's actually amazing. So there is definitely an opportunity there. And regardless, you should be just creating that content in general, because I think that it can provide a lot of value for you. In terms of, there's another question, what courses do I offer? Currently I have two courses. I have Instagram Basics and Instagram Advanced. I don't know if they're still live on the site, but I just kind of teach you. In the basics course, I teach how to use Instagram at a very basic level. And then Instagram Advanced was a three course bit where we created a digital marketing plan, so to speak. And there's another question from Karen, is TikTok for 50 and over avatars? Again, it can be. if you have content to create, or have a message that you want to share, I would try to find ways to, if you want to create viral videos, find ways to educate younger people, like about what it is you do or about lessons that you've learned. I know that there's a huge opportunity for that. There was this like 90-year-old grandpa who became really famous for dancing. You don't have to dance, but I've seen like everyone of all ages on TikTok. And because it is such a rapidly expanding platform, there's going to be a lot of opportunity there. And more people of all ages are going to hop on. And I think that's it.
Thanks, Avery. Well, Avery caught us up, Kieran, as she usually does. Kieran, thanks, Avery. I love that. And TikTok had some, Kieran, let's talk about this.
Sure.
You know, one of the things is data privacy, and the big world of social media and business is always changing. And as many of the listeners and followers know, I'm currently studying at MIT. I'm running a tech company, and none of our C-suite is even on, well, one, is on social media because of privacy issues. TikTok had some privacy issues, and where are they at now with cleaning that up? They recently brought on a Disney corporate executive. I would guess they're probably on the M&A list from Disney, but what have they done recently to clean things up?
Disney can't afford them. Casey, how much is TikTok worth? They're worth $75 billion. Right now, that's their value. So pretty much nobody can afford to buy them for any sort of useful reason, which is the craziest part. They're worth more than Facebook, right? Or they're getting like, what's their, they're the highest market cap, like social media. Yeah. I have my business partner, Casey, here. Anyway, TikTok's value is crazy. But back to, so the privacy issues, I mean, they're $100 billion.
Does Casey want to just come make an appearance?
Casey, would you like to make an appearance?
So you guys are getting a bonus. Casey Adams, yeah. he has the Rise of the Young podcast. It's the top rated podcast for Gen Z. He's speaking at the event. He's over Kieran's shoulder, and he just interviewed Elon Musk's mom. He's putting out, I think, a show a day right now. So anyway, so in terms of their privacy issues, they had some problems, and a lot of people left the platform, and now they're coming back.
One second, I'm just switching the audio over. Casey, just take one of these. All right, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
I want to say something again after this, so I'm so sorry. But yeah, I have something to add about this as well.
You're not really sorry, but that's okay for apologizing.
No, just because, you know, I'm spitting facts, you know? The people have to learn what I have.
Hello!
Hey, Casey Adams.
How are you, Susan?
Someone needs to screenshot this. Like, everyone needs to screenshot this right now for your story, for your, like, you know, wherever you're going to post it. I'll take a photo right now because that's what we do. Here, I'll spotlight your video, guys.
Boom. Love it.
Hold on one sec.
Oh, there we go. Wow. We're big screen now.
Wow.
Awesome.
I didn't even know that was a feature on Zoom.
I have the odd thing still to teach you. Not much, but yeah, there you go. That was your like learning for today. So anyway, Casey, yeah. Hey, we're talking TikTok right now. We've got some people here live. We're recording a show, and there are a lot of people asking questions about TikTok. One of the things that came up is just how they've been solving some of their issues with privacy.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I would say the privacy thing, I mean, I can't speak on it too much just from a, I don't understand everything in the back end, but I know TikTok is a platform when it comes to what they're doing to innovate in the social media world is unlike any other social media platform. And something that happened as of recently actually was Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a very well-known entrepreneur. It was like this special campaign on TikTok where he raised $2.5 million on the app. And it was a new feature that TikTok tested with him. And I always like to tell people, like, yes, there's security issues and things that I personally, you know, don't have the answers to, but what they're doing and how they're sort of taking over the market, it's very unique. It's unlike any other social media platform, and it's super important to just have a brand presence on there because you don't want to be left behind. You know, a lot of people, they're trying to spend time catching up on building a brand on Instagram or any of these other platforms, it's best to be ahead of the curve. And TikTok is definitely one of those platforms that in the next 2 to 5 years, it could be the biggest thing in the world, or it could, you know, die off. But right now it's definitely growing at an exponential rate. And I highly advise brands and also individuals and their personal brand to just have a presence on there, because it's, there's a lot of opportunity and you want to be early rather than late.
Mm, that's great advice. Your hair looks excellent, by the way. I just need to tell you that.
Thank you so much.
I see you often.
I'm usually the spiky hair. Now I got it, you know, going back.
I like it. It's kind of like really Richie Rich looking, you know, like, you know, like I like it, you know, if people can't see it. Your hair looks great, by the way. The there's some more questions coming in. So one of the questions that I think it's important for people to understand is budget. Going back to Instagram and Facebook, there are some people intimidated just to get advertising. They don't need to spend a big budget, like a huge amount of money on budget. Can you guys talk about that?
The budget for what specifically?
So if they're going to just start to run some ads on Instagram or Facebook, they can do it on a minimal budget. Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. And you know, I'm actually about to go on Dennis Yu's podcast, who's a mentor of mine, a friend of Susan's. And it's literally where I'm going right after this Zoom is over. And his, one of his things that he's famous for is the dollar a day strategy, where you spend $7 over the course of a week. You spend $1 per day on an advertisement. And the idea behind that is that, you know, you're not spending $1 a day. You're spending, you know, $5, $10, $15, $20 a day, but on $5, $10, $15 different ads. And then at the end of the 7 days, you can kind of look back at your results and say, okay, out of the 10 ads that we ran, right, we spent $70 over the course of a week on 10 different ads, $7 a day each, and two of them performed really well. Now we're going to spend $5 a day on those two ads, and we're going to kill the rest of them off. And then out of those two ads, then 7 days later, you say, okay, great. This ad performed better than the other one. Now we're going to spend $10, $15, $20 a day on that ad. And that's how you kind of use the process of elimination. It's a great way to split test, copy, creative, offers, everything like that. So depending on what your goal is, you know, at the end of the day, you can spend whatever you want on this paid traffic. The art of deciding what budget is too high and is going to dilute the market too quickly, and what budget is too low and not going to get your results quickly enough. You know, that's kind of, it changes based on the industry and based on, you know, the medium that you're using and the platform that you're advertising on. But you kind of have to figure out, based on how big your target audience is, you know, what kind of results you're trying to get, to try to define your KPIs as well before you run the ads. So are you just trying to get traffic to your website that you can retarget later? Are you trying to get conversions right off the bat? Are you trying to get followers? Are you trying to get, you know, views to a webinar? Just, you know, decide what your KPI is, and then decide what a great cost per action, whatever action that might be, would be for that offer. Then you can kind of reverse engineer that and say, okay, great. This is what I'm looking to get my cost per acquisition at. This is my budget, and this is how long I'm going to run it for. And then you can kind of figure out your budget for that campaign and say, okay, if I have a $100 budget and I'm trying to acquire 10 new users at $10 each, that means that I'm going to have to run this for, you know, 2 weeks at $50 a week. You know, you just, and obviously that's super simple. But you know, kind of just do that simple math in your head and say, get all your numbers right, get your KPIs figured out at the beginning, and then go for it. I think the biggest mistake that people make with paid traffic is that they don't set their goals from the beginning, and they kind of just go in blind, and they, you know, they don't plan out their copy, they don't plan out their creative, they don't, you know, they don't plan out their offer, and they just kind of throw money at the wall hoping that it's going to stick and something's going to do well. But you know, that's probably the worst strategy. You know, you want to make sure, you know, what's the quote, fail to plan to fail, or whatever it is. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So, you know, the same thing goes for paid traffic. So like I said, plan all that stuff out, then run your campaigns.
I love that. And it's okay to spend that dollar a day, and then you want to see what is getting the most traction, right? And you're going to have to,
right.
One of my favorite things to say is this, you know, it's just giving yourself permission to fail. You're not going to be perfect at it. I mean, Kieran's been running ads for years and years and years, right? That's why he's really good at it. Casey, since you're here, let's talk about organic prospecting. So Casey prospects every single day for high quality guests on his show. So you DM people, you figure out ways to reach them. I want you to give some real numbers. How many people do you reach out to? How did you get Mae Musk on your show? Because this is like, people have to understand the hustle and grind. This isn't just, oh, I'm famous, I'm Casey Adams, so people just come to me. Like, talk to me, everyone, about what you really do to build your show.
Yeah, totally, and I appreciate that. I mean, for everyone that doesn't know, so I've interviewed a little over 200 plus high-level entrepreneurs over the last 2.5 years, and as of recently, during, you know, this quarantine, I did over 45 interviews. So over the past, you know, 60 days, I've done 45 interviews on Zoom right here in this chair that Kieran's sitting in. And it's all a numbers game at the end of the day, right? So for example, I always take time every Saturday to reach out to minimum like 50 people, right? And I also use social media as something where outside of those 50 DMs that I send on a Saturday afternoon to quality people, and we'll talk about the strategy in a second. Like if I'm watching someone's Instagram story and they repost someone that seems interesting, I'll spend time to be an active producer when I'm on social media. I don't just go on Instagram to consume, right? Every time I'm going on there, I'm either reaching out to someone, or I'm posting on there, I'm getting back to comments, I'm building community, right? And I think I've more so just adapted my behavior to be in a, you know, producing mentality. And for those that may not know, for example, Mae Musk, she's Elon Musk's mother. She came out with a book recently. I always try to reach out to people when there's obviously a value add, right? So for example, whether that's Robert Greene, he's an author, or Mae Musk, who just came out with her book, I reach out to these people with a specific ask, and that's, hey Mae, I saw you recently came out with your book. It would be an absolute pleasure to have you on my podcast for 25 minutes to promote this. Let me know if you'd have time to do so. And whenever I do that, I'm very straightforward. I don't take too much of their time. I'm very direct with my ask. And since I've built my brand and I have the content and, you know, the social reputation, it's become easier to get a response. But back in the day when I had no followers and no brand, it was the same strategy. But, you know, you hear a lot of no's at the beginning. And like I said, to really bring it back to the beginning, is it's a numbers game, right? Like, I've received so many no's, or people left me on red, but that doesn't discourage me, A, because I know they're busy, and B, maybe it's not the right time for them, right? But it's always one of those things where, for example, me and Kieran, recently I saw that Kevin Hart, right, the famous comedian, he did a bunch of podcasts, and all these people that I follow, he was doing interviews. I'm like, how can I get Kevin Hart on my show? And I haven't had him on the show yet, but I always try to look for the next challenge, and who do I know him, that could introduce me to them? But to be honest, it's definitely just came from just reaching out, keeping it simple, being direct and straight to the point. And I've had the privilege of getting a lot of people to say yes, just because I've been consistent. And now, since I have other big names, it's compounded. And people look at that and they're more likely to say yes, but it didn't start like that in any sense.
That's awesome. I love how real you are. It's like 50 reach outs. You know, you got, and if someone wants to connect Casey with Kevin Hart, I know some people who might know him. let me see what I can do, right? And I think that's the totally thing with your friends. Like, you've got to ask. It's an ask. And I know that when you interviewed Mae, you were telling me that you asked her what it would take to get Elon on. And she's like, well, Elon's super busy. But yeah, it does, if you don't ask, you don't get, right?
Yep, like,
and Casey, tell everyone how old you were when you started your show.
So I started my show, it was 2017. I was 17 years old. It was December 2017 is when I started it. I got the microphone, actually, same one, and started it in my bedroom in Virginia, just doing Zoom interviews. And then over the last 2.5 years, before, you know, the world was crazy the last couple months, I did a lot of my interviews in person, traveled all over to LA or New York or Miami, just sitting down with high-level people. But it started off just, you know, I wanted to start a podcast in my bedroom after reading one of Gary Vee's books. And it's just opened up such an incredible network of opportunities and experiences. And now I've more so have fallen in love with the just process of interviewing and a quality conversation. And, you know, I had Larry King on the podcast back in December, and that only solidified just my love for podcasting now. And it's been super cool to see it evolve and grow into more like my identity and where I want to build my career. And it's definitely a vehicle, just podcasting as a whole, that's continuing to grow, right? I'm sure a lot of the people here today saw Joe Rogan recently got that $100 million deal with Spotify to go exclusive with them. And just seeing deals like that happen only reassure how the industry is growing. So it's definitely one of those things I see myself doing for a while. And for anyone that likes conversations and communicating, I think podcasting is a great vehicle to really build your brand and your voice. And I know Karen and I, we recently launched a podcast with our good friend Jeffrey called Virginia Boys. And it's something we do for fun, but it's just quality conversations about, you know, business and current events and our personal lives. And we've had some amazing feedback, not because we're the most interesting people in the world, just because we're real and we share our stories and experiences. And it's a cool dynamic between three, you know, good friends that are from Virginia, and it's a great way to build community. So it's definitely a cool growing industry.
And Casey, when you were teaching last year at the event, you challenged everyone in that moment to start a podcast, and JJ Burden started his podcast at the event. And that's it. That's the big thing I'm going to say about the event. I'm just plugging the event. Of course I am. I think I have like 17 spots left. And if you don't grab one, you're not going to come. And it's sad, but sorry, you know, like you know, how often do we freaking think about things more than taking action? And the thing that inspires me about Kieran and Casey and Avery and Jeffrey, who we'll have on an episode coming up, is that they just take action. It's like I said earlier, get in your head, you're dead, get in your heart, you're smart, right? Like, that could be a coffee mug, just so you know, gentlemen, if that, you know, just an FYI, right? And so what, Lisa Cohen wants to know, what software do you use to close caption on video?
Rev.com is what I use for my Facebook ad closed captions.
And Rev is what we use too. And I want to, I'll let you guys finish with some unsolicited plug, because I know you're brand ambassadors for, you've got the Monopoly board behind you. So if you want to give the link for that, because they have epic stuff on there. Great for gifts, everything. Yep. So what is the link to that?
This company is owned by our buddies Mark and Cole. And their company is called Iconic. That's IKONICK. It's just iconic.com. I can, hold on, let me do a chat to everyone. Iconic.com. There it is in the chat. So if you guys want some art, we have a ton of it all around our office and in our apartment and everywhere. So it's super cool. And they're young entrepreneurs as well. They're in their like late 20s, I think. So they're killing it. They're like the biggest canvas art company in the world. So
yeah, they raised $2 million from Gary Vaynerchuk and Scooter Braun, and they have a great team behind them, and they're crushing it. Their stories are great, but yeah, we just put it everywhere. So definitely check it out if you like it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks Kieran and Casey and Avery for stopping by. And there are definitely some we've been doing, as most of you know, when COVID happened, my first question was, how can I give back more? And so instead of interviewing guests on my show, I decided to do 2 shows a week and open it up to live questions for side hustlers, because think about when we're all starting and there's nowhere to answer these questions that are very specific to your business. So we've been doing this, I think, for 8 to 10 weeks now, and I'm just going to keep it going. So we've got more guests that are going to be coming on, which is going to be amazing. I've got a show that's going to be released in June. I have Mr. Paid Traffic Secrets himself, that, you know, many of you know from the ClickFunnels world. He's going to be a guest on that. So lots of amazing things coming up. If you want to come to the event, go to agency8.com, click on events, get your ticket. It's going to be incredible. I'm excited. So anyway, thanks guys for being here. You're outstanding.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
And if you guys love this episode, give us a shout out on social. So it's at Susan Sly on Instagram, at Susan_Sly on Twitter, at Susan Sly Live on Facebook, at Kieran X, at Casey Adams, I think one.
No, he's just at Casey now. He's got that OG username.
Oh, shut the front door. So at Casey on Instagram and at Avery, where do you want to be added?
I'm just at Avery Sly. There's only one of me.
This is very true. There is only one of you, baby girl. All right. So with that, God bless. Go rock your day. And we will see you guys next time. Thanks, everyone.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.